Imagine someone shows up at your front door to tell you your local schools aren't safe.
The sanctions have had a severe effect economically on the country. Saddam and his coterie of thugs haven't suffered at all. But the population as a rule, as a whole, certainly has.
My job is to make sure that you know, certain viewpoints are better expressed, and that's why I replaced him with a better writer.
Neighborhood Terror Watch Executive Director Mark Kaiser makes no apologies for his technique.
Really well-targeted solutions for different types of customers, from consumers to business users to people who are looking for really the latest generation of phone technology.
Talking to a lot of people, they've said that their business has decreased in the Europe market, but we have a lot of people traveling and here in the upcoming months too.
I think after 9/11, I think we have to realize that we have every right to be concerned about these issues and every right to look at what could go wrong.
Good evening and welcome to Earshot, WNYU's weekly current events program, airing every Wednesday night on 89.1 FM New York and online at WNYU.org. I'm Dee Harvey.
And I'm Janet Yu, in tonight from Mike Arroyo. NYU undergraduates recently received their assignments for fall 2006 on-campus housing. This comes after the housing department announced a structural change where the incoming sophomore class receives priority in choosing residence halls over juniors and seniors. The rationale for this change is that if the sophomore class took rooms in the heavily desired Union Square cluster of buildings, this would create a greater sense of community amongst their class. Tonight, we will be speaking live with Dr. Tom Ellett of NYU's Department of Residential Education about the benefits of an increased sense of community. But first, I spoke with Vice President for Administration of Central Housing, Jennifer Brown, about the specifics of the new plan and the sophomore priority. Great. Janet, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So to begin, I wanted to know, how does the change to sophomore preference this year change the lottery system in general?
Well, the lottery system itself doesn't change. What has changed is the outcome of where the students cross the board, sophomores, juniors, and seniors, place through the lottery.
Okay, so how does the system work?
The system used to be worked based on seniority, where the students who were eligible to participate went through a randomized computerized sorting, with the priority going first in placement to seniors, then the juniors, and the sophomores. This year's change gives that priority to the sophomores, then to the seniors, and then lastly to the juniors. And so what you have is a larger number of students who make up the sophomore class being placed first, with remaining space going down the line to seniors and then to juniors.
Are second year transfer students considered sophomores in the housing process?
They used to be. In the new system, second year transfers are considered within the senior priority. And it's important to note that when we use the term sophomore, junior, and senior, we're not really talking about academic classes. We're using that term loosely, but the priority is not established based on actual credits earned. It's determined based upon the year that you, what status you are when you first enter the housing system as a newly admitted student.
So transfer students would have the same status as if in academic standing as if you were a senior in...
Correct. We're making the assumption that as a when you come into the system as a transfer, you have a need for 2 years of housing, which would put you into the standard senior class.
So how did that decision come about to make transfer students have the same as seniors?
That was part of the committee that met over the 18-month period in 2004 and 2005. That was part of the discussion that they had, because transfers traditionally get the last placements when they're first admitted. And it was in an effort to try to bring them more into the community and into the fold. And so this was seen as a fairly equitable way to do it.
Okay, great. So for the results now for housing, did most sophomores get placed in their first choices?
About 80% of the sophomores placed within their top three preferences.
And then where did the other 20% of the sophomores get placed?
Various buildings throughout the system, Water Street, Lafayette, Greenwich, which tended to be the fourth and fifth choice buildings.
Did most of the sophomores end up where the Housing Administration assumed that they would end up?
I don't think we made any assumptions beyond the fact that the Union Square buildings would be the most popular buildings.
And were they?
Yes, they were, across the board of all classes.
Oh, great.
As they always have been.
Right. So now, because of this, where are most of the juniors and seniors located?
I'm sorry?
Where did most of the juniors and seniors get assigned?
The juniors and seniors were scattered throughout, mostly Water Street, Lafayette. A significant number of juniors were placed in 26th Street, 2nd Street, alumni, those buildings.
What kind of reactions have you been getting in terms of from sophomores and juniors and seniors just across the board?
For the sophomores, it depends on where they placed. We've had no reaction from the ones that got their top three choices, understandably. Students, I think, were somewhat shocked by the outcome of the placements. There were several students that were unaware that the change was coming to fruition. The university took some significant efforts and steps to try to, you know, alert students to this. But there were still a population of students who didn't, especially seniors, who didn't realize that this was happening. But every year we always hear from the students that are less than happy with where their placement is.
What kind of advice do you usually give to the students who are unhappy about their housing placement?
Well, it depends on what it is that they're discontented with. If their sole goal is to be placed in, let's say, Palladium, which is the most popular building for everybody, we try to be realistic with them and say, look, you know, you need to broaden your scope, and students are certainly able to request building and room changes, which we work on all through the summer before fall check-in, and we'll try to accommodate as many people as possible. We don't know what our success. We've usually been very successful with that. We don't know if we'll be quite as successful because there's more students now that are requesting changes, and we may not have the same type of ability to accommodate as many students as we've had in the past.
Now, from my experience, last year, a lot of people were dissatisfied with the housing that they were put in. So, like, let's say a lot of people were put into 26th Street. I've seen the majority of the people that I know who got placed in 26th Street, they decided that they wanted to opt out, and they did. Is that an easy process to do this year, or has the sophomore preference changed that process at all?
Changed the cancellation process?
Just switching dorms process.
As I previously stated, we don't know what the outcome of that is going to be. We've been very successful in the past. Students wanting to get out of 26th Street, for the most part, we've been able to accommodate them in the past. We just don't know if we're going to have that same ability this year.
Okay. So now, what kind of complications did happen this year with the housing process?
What do you mean complications?
Well, in terms of, there has been rumors that many students weren't assigned housing at all. What happened?
There was a population of students that were not able to get a placement through the lottery. There were several things that happened as a result of that. One, we had expected a higher level of attrition in the numbers of students requesting to return into housing, which has been the trend over the past several years. And with the change in the lottery process, we assumed that would continue. So there were a higher number of students going into the system. For a variety of reasons, we moved the actual schedule of the lottery forward 2 weeks, which is a critical 2 weeks because being able to run the lottery in the middle of April gleans a lot more vacancies in our system. And because we ran it April 1st this year, we lost 2 critical weeks of being able to maximize the number of spaces for the students to lottery into. And so there was a population of students that didn't get a lottery placement, but they are still guaranteed housing.
What sort of things are being done to guarantee that they will have housing?
Well, number one, we're expecting, as we always have, a significant number of cancellations. So space will open up. If for whatever reason we find that the amount of space that we need is less than the number of students that we need to go into there, we'll go out and find additional housing.
How would you find additional housing?
Well, there's a whole team of administrators who, you know, with the real estate department, my office, we will, if we need to, we will go out and rent more additional housing. We are always being contacted by various developers and landlords as to whether we want to rent additional space. It's a last resort effort because we don't want to have to incur additional leased properties. But if we have to meet our commitment to student housing, we will.
Has housing had to resort to this before in past years of housing?
Well, we have 7 buildings that are leased, and those buildings were leased because of the demand for housing.
I see. Okay, great. Well, do you have any other comments, any words of hope for any students who haven't been assigned the housing that they wanted or kind of getting anxious about not having a housing assignment?
Well, I think it's a little too soon for us to kind of give them any advice other than, to keep checking our website, and we will be sending out periodic updates, and it's our hope that, you know, we'll begin some of those placements sooner than the mid-June date that we indicated. You know, that's an outside date for us to notify students, but it is important that they know that we will be aggressively working to get them placed.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much for joining us today.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Okay, have a great night.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Janet. Earshot's Annie Meyer spoke with, went around university to hear feedback on the plan from students.
The rising sophomores are definitely content with their housing assignments, though few seem to have received their first choices. It appears even first priority leads to a little disappointment.
Hi, I'm Kate. I am a rising sophomore, and I really appreciate that NYU has tried to benefit us with housing next year, but I don't think it's actually as beneficial as people thought it would be. I think almost all the sophomores felt that they were going to get, you know, like their top choices, and I know a lot of people didn't. My first choice was Broome, but I mean, obviously, a lot of people apply there. Not everyone can get in.
I'm Jessica Lee. I'm a rising sophomore, and I got put in the Second Street dorm, which was my fourth choice because I didn't really know what it was like. And I guess it's good that the system changed because, like, sophomores need housing close to campus, but at the same time, it kind of, like, screws over the upperclassmen, so that's not really fair. I think they just need to, like, improve housing in general and make sure that they can actually house the students that they promise housing to.
My name is Dalton. I'm a rising sophomore, and I got my first choice, Broome Street. Broome Street is off the hook. Because I'm a sophomore, I get first preference. Of course I like it. But I don't think I'm going to like it next year, so I guess it's like karma. Goes around, comes around.
Yeah, I'm going to be a sophomore next year, and I got my third choice, so I kind of lucked out. I hear it's pretty bad for everyone else. I got Carlisle, and I was okay with that because it's Union Square, which is a good location. Shouldn't be too bad.
Rising seniors still in housing are few and far between, and they're not too happy with the results of the new system.
All right, well, I'm a rising senior, and I lived in Palladium this year. Freshman year, I lived in Weinstein. Last year, I lived in Lafayette. And next year, I'm living in Lafayette. And I've been metaphorically bent over the table and raped by John Sexton and NYU. I've been completely shafted by NYU. And I was going to say I'm not going to take it, but I'm obviously taking it because I just got my room assignment and put my name in. So I'm gonna do nothing about it. But yeah, it's pretty unfortunate. That I think they just think that they're going to deal with us for one more year and then we're out of the picture, so it doesn't really matter.
The most controversial group, Rising Juniors, show mainly frustration and resentment at the system, many in the face of no housing placement for the moment.
I'm Will Schwartz. I'm a sophomore, going to be a junior at NYU. I just got 2nd Street as my dorm, which was, I think, my fourth choice. I think that the new NYU housing system makes it so that off-campus housing just seems like the most viable option for juniors and seniors. I know that I'm not going to pay pretty much the same amount for a tiny room, you know, with a roommate, probably bunk beds, when I could get an apartment in the Lower East Side for cheaper. And I think that we're paying a lot of money for pretty crappy treatment when it comes to housing.
Well, I got into Lafayette. That was my fourth choice. We're like last in picking, which sucks. So I'm not super happy about it. So next year I'm going to go abroad so I don't get like a worse dorm.
I skipped the lottery process totally because I did explorations because I knew it was going to suck. So I got into Broome Street. That's how you cheat the system.
Hi, my name is Jean-Louis Stassen. I'm a rising junior and I didn't get housing. Actually, I was put on the waiting list for next semester, and I think this is totally wrong. I don't know why we have to get the bad picks in two years in a row. I think that I didn't get housing because they want to encourage people to live off campus, because NYU, due to the increasing number of new students, they do not have the possibility to house them anymore. Honestly, I just think this is plain wrong that some people, some groups have to just suffer because of that.
I'm a junior and I was placed in alumni. I applied for housing for next year. Yeah, it was my first choice. If you've been paying for housing all 3 years and you like you've made all your payments and you've been a good like and you haven't been written up and like it's absurd that they would throw you somewhere. Yeah.
I'm a rising junior and I currently live in Carlisle, but I got 2nd Street. That was about my third choice.
Hi, I'm a rising junior and I'm one of the 500 people who got an email and didn't get put anywhere for next year. It's really upsetting that housing wants to kick out all the juniors and seniors from NYU housing, especially since NYU's main models is that they guarantee housing for everyone for all 4 years. So I'm really upset about that and the fact that I don't get to know where I live or who I live with until who knows when.
One last bright opinion did manage to show some optimism and understanding for the class of 08.
I'm actually on the wait list for housing, so one of my concerns is just like how things are looking up for me in terms of like in the fall, whether or not I will be able to get housing, just because I know right now so many kids that did have guaranteed housing weren't able to get housing. But in terms of like how like rising juniors aren't getting like a fair deal here, actually I'm not totally against it or anything, just because like I went to dinner with President Sexton last Thursday, and one of the things he said was that some of us, we have to take a loss just for the good of the whole team. And he was relating it to how a few classes, I think maybe one class, had to live without a Kimmel. And I couldn't imagine living, you know, with no Kimmel, no marketplace, nowhere to congregate for clubs. And housing is just the thing that the class of 2008 is gonna have to sacrifice.
With us in the studio this evening is Dr. Tom Ellett, Assistant Vice President for NYU's Department of Residential Education. Tom, welcome to Earshot.
Thank you for having me.
So first of all, what work does the Department of Residential Education do?
We're responsible for the programming, the staff and student development, the crisis response, and programming with the RAs and professional staff in the residence halls.
So to get to the big change in housing allocation this year, could you tell us a little bit about how that decision was made?
Sure. There was a group of about 18 faculty, students, and staff who met for an 18-month period that looked at the issues as it related to housing. We looked at the exploration theme floors. We looked at the preference model and the lottery system. And we thought, based on presentations by a number of folks, including the national sophomore slump, as they call it, what should we be doing at NYU to enhance and continue to enhance community through some of the things that we've already started to do, which really began with the first-year residence hall experience. When I got here in the fall of 2001, there were over 1,200 freshmen who had upperclass students as roommates, and they were spread throughout the system. And so when we made the decision 3 years ago to change to a freshman year experience, there were about 1,000 or so students who lived close around the square who were then moved out, and there was a lot of uproar. And so the class of 2008 and the preceding classes have benefited from that change.
Okay, and what's this this sophomore slump that you mentioned?
It talks about how there's a transition when you come as a freshman, but there's also a transition when you become a sophomore, where there's a lot of resources available for you as a freshman. In that sophomore year, you're a little bit more on your own and left kind of to do your own thing. And so a lot of students had said in the sophomore year they felt marooned to the furthest part of campus. And because geographically we are so different at NYU than other places, we looked at that as it related to retention rates, but also level of support that sophomores received. And we thought one way to provide more support would be closer in proximity to the campus resources.
And what was your reason for thinking that there was a particular problem with sophomores at NYU?
Certainly what we've heard and documented through assessment processes that have been going on through the schools and the colleges, not necessarily particularly to housing alone, but to the advising process and other aspects of being a sophomore.
And how does the urban environment of New York City help or hinder the development of a sense of community at the university?
Well, I had done my dissertation on the explorations floors here at NYU, and I looked at students who were in the communities compared to those who weren't. And what I found were that students who were in those communities felt a closer sense of community, they utilized the city more, and they felt it was safer to be in the city. And so when you think about an urban environment, you really want to have the support mechanisms in place for people to be most successful. And I think even developmentally, we see that seniors who have been and juniors who have been at the campus for 1 or 2 years probably are a little bit more savvy about the city than someone who's less inclined to have been here as long as the upperclass students.
And how will the specific changes that are being made for the coming year help to solve the lack of community among sophomores?
Well, one thing it will do is that it will allow students from their freshman year who may have lived together to be able to pick rooms together in close proximity and be in closer proximity. Previously, sophomores filled in the gaps. So the seniors, then the juniors, would pick their preferences, and what was left over, sophomores would fill in. Now it's somewhat the opposite way around. And so that the juniors and seniors who may have internships that are further parts of the city, either at Wall Street, downtown, or uptown, they might be closer in proximity to some of those internships potentially.
So for the junior and senior classes, is it that they need a sense of community less, or that they have a greater sense of community already?
I've been working in residence halls for 20 years now at 4 different institutions, and one of the things I find that freshmen tend to bond with a larger group of students, and it tends to get smaller as time goes on. You find your clique, so to speak, of people who you have commonalities with. You tend to spend more time with fewer people than when you're freshman year, you spend lots of shorter amount of times, but with lots of different people. And so I think that we'll find that hopefully this will be supportive of that. The other thing the university is doing is trying to acquire properties that will bring us closer to Washington Square and Union Square. With the purchase of the 12th Street property, well, it will be soon to be property, we have land, we'll be building there, for 700 bed spaces, that will allow us to get out of Water Street and Cliff Street. So again, bringing people closer to the square.
What's the value of a community to a university?
Well, I think there's a lot of value to it. One, the sense of community can help you through your academic degree. You're more likely to share that experience. Hopefully it'll be more meaningful for you. You'll have longer connections with people when you leave the institution, and hopefully see this as a home away from home when you graduate and become an alum.
And how about for the university itself? Does it improve the running of a university if there's a strong sense of community?
I would say that the research that has been done nationally about community, students are more likely to stay and graduate from an institution if they feel a sense of affinity and community at that institution. So certainly retention rates could improve, which in the long run could increase the quality of an NYU degree for our students here.
And What kind of signs would you see that would let you know that the sense of community has been improved? What kind of changes have you seen in the freshman community, for example, since the changes that were implemented?
I would say that we see more students who are involved in hall council and activities in the residence halls. More traditions have been established. I mean, I look at an event I was there this weekend was Relay for Life. And the freshman class council, the sophomore class council, different residence halls. Reuben won the banner contest for the third year. The amount of money that we're giving was raised from the year before. That's one example. I think there are others. I think the exploration floors and the students who are participating, it grew from one building, Goddard Hall, with 214 students to this year over 900 students. And I think that will continue to grow. And I was sorry to hear the one student think that it was an opportunity to kind of beat the system. You know, IRHC, which gives the recommendations for the lottery, will probably look at that in the future to say if people are gaming the system. That's not what it's about. It's really for people who want to have an enhanced view of New York City, working with faculty and students, having a commonality, not necessarily an academic commonality, but an interest that will really enhance the experience of being in New York City.
So it's about the richness of your university experience.
Yeah, I think classroom certainly is one aspect of being in college. But if you read books on experiences of college, how many books talk about being in class and studying chemistry? Most of them are about the people we meet, the fraternities, the sororities, the activities, the athletics, the different things, the dances that people go to. Those are the things that really, I think, broaden your experience, the social nature of being at college.
And how people might wonder if this could be just as well achieved with the special programs in the classroom or with student clubs. Why is it important to do this in a residential setting?
Well, a lot of students spend a lot of time in the residence hall outside the classroom. And please note that I didn't say it wasn't important in the academic setting, because I think it is important. But one thing that the residence hall does that the academic setting may not be able to is the richness of the different academic curriculums that are shared in a residence hall setting. In a Tisch classroom, you're going to have students who are from Tisch. In a residence hall, you're going to have a broad base of students who are in the nursing program, in Stern, in Tisch, CAS, who will have a sense of community that will share those differences. But there will be a richness to the dialogue and the experiences that they have.
So in a way, having these classes sort of brings the university together rather than having sort of separate schools that don't communicate so well.
The classes, I'm not sure, because the explorations are not classes per se.
No, I'm saying the fact that in the dorms that there are people from all over the university.
Correct. And that's why we haven't created explorations floors for math students or nursing students. That's not really what we're interested in doing, because they get that richness in the classroom. It's more about having a diversity of student opinions and experiences to share the arts or to share the architecture of New York.
And are there any other special programs that residential education is implementing? Are there other ways that students can get involved?
Sure. We have the RISE program, which is the Residential International Student Engagement Program. Tomorrow, as a matter of fact, we are celebrating a wedding of two students who will be going over to India to actually have their wedding at the end of the semester. And so students from different cultures will be there to experience a wedding in the Indian culture. That's one example. We have approximately 150 students, international students, who participate regularly in that program, which meets monthly. We have our television show on Cooking with Nish, which talks about cooking cuisine, the exploration programs. We have faculty in residence. When I got here, there were two faculty in residence. Next year, we'll have 14. And those people live in the residence halls with their family and add a sense of, hopefully, intellectual discourse with our students. And it's an opt-in program. No one's forced to go. But I think the kinds of programs that are occurring there, we had a Nobel Peace Prize winner in the Palladium last week to talk with the Explorations Floor by the faculty in residence. There are all kinds of different programs that are occurring that I think that can enhance the quality of experience at NYU.
Oh, well, I think that's all the time we have. Thank you very much, Tom, for coming to speak with us this evening.
Thank you.
Dr. Tom Ellett is Assistant Vice President for NYU's Department of Residential Education. Oh. And that's it for this week's Earshot. Tune in next week as we discuss New York's recent proposal to increase the amount of surveillance cameras placed on city streets. For Earshot, I'm Dee Harvey.
And I'm Janet Yu. Earshot is produced by Dee Harvey and Mike Arroyo. Stay tuned for John and Shake 'Em On Down.